Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and continue the story of how the Ark of the Covenant arrived for the very first time at Jerusalem. David has just recently taken the entire city of Jebus intact and declared it his new capital city. And so he wants God's throne to be brought to the palace of this city, since God is actually the king of Israel, and David is the under-king below God. The people celebrated along the parade route, and there was lots of music and happiness and dancing. In fact, the only negative thing in the whole story is when Michal, the daughter of the late King Saul, sees that David is dancing like one of the common people, like one of the participants in the parade. He's not dressed up in his royalty. He doesn't have his crown on his head or anything like that. It says in the text that she despised him in her heart. Now, I suggested to you that there's more to it than just this incident. I think that things have not been right between her and David ever since he basically forced her to divorce her second husband and come back into a household that was full of other wives of David who have children. And Michal has never been able to have babies with David. We'll discover later that that is specified in the text, but we understand it pretty easily from the fact that they were married during the later portion of King Saul's reign, and there's no mention anywhere of them having children together. And so that, all of that together, probably makes her very bitter. And this was just kind of the last straw. And we'll have a confrontation we'll get to eventually between the two of them. But for the most part, let's return now to the celebrations of the day. Chapter 16 of 1 Chronicles, verse number 1. They brought in the Ark of God, and they set it inside the tent that David had pitched for it. So they brought it underneath this awning, and this is going to be the royal tent of God for the moment. Now, this should feel odd to us, because this is not the tabernacle. It's not as if David brought the tabernacle to Jerusalem and set it up. The tabernacle remains at Gibeon. Now, I'm not sure why that's the case, but it is. So David sets up the Ark of the Covenant in its own little tent in the grounds of his palace in the city of Jerusalem. And he also makes arrangements with the priests that there will be sacrifices offered at this site as well. Now, we already know that during this time period, by God's either direct permission or his not acting against them permission, the Israelis have set up worship sites at multiple locations around Israel. Samuel, remember, went around to different places and offered sacrifices. And this was all during the time that the Ark of the Covenant was separated from the tabernacle. And so that's going to continue being the case here. And so there will be sacrifices offered at the tabernacle without the ark, and there will be sacrifices offered at Jerusalem without the tabernacle, but the ark is there. And this is the beginning of it. They offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before God. And when David had finished offering the burnt offerings and the peace offerings, that doesn't mean he personally did it. He's got priests that are involved in this whole ceremony. So after he did that, he blessed the people in the name of He who is. So he makes this public blessing to all of those that were there that day when the ark of God's presence, that is His throne, was brought into the palace at the new capital city. And then he did something very common practice at celebrations for kings. He distributed to all Israel, both men and women, to each a loaf of bread, a portion of meat, and a cake of raisins. So he basically bought lunch, bought dinner for everybody that participated in the arrival of the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. A celebratory meal. No doubt a lot of the meat coming from sacrifices offered to God on this special day. So the next thing that we are going to read, let's see, where did I want to go to at this point, is, let's stay in 1 Chronicles for the moment. Then he appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the Ark of He Who Is, to invoke, to thank, and to praise He Who Is, the God of Israel. So he is the one that comes up with a plan with the compliance of the high priest and the other priests that he's working with, that there will be worship services both here at Jerusalem with the Ark of the Covenant, and there will be services at the tabernacle as usual. But here at Jerusalem, Asaph ends up being the chief of things going on here, which Asaph's name shows up in some of the Psalms later. Second to him were Zechariah, Yael, Shermir Amut, another Jehiel, and then Mattathiah, and Eliab, and Benaiah, and Obed-Edom, and Jael, who were to play harps and lyres, and Asaph was to sound the cymbals. Benaiah and Jehaziel, the priests, were to blow trumpets regularly before the Ark of the Covenant of He Who Is. So there's a lot of music going on in association with the Ark here at Jerusalem. And you see the names of some of these musicians show up in the Psalms later. Then on that day, David first appointed that thanksgiving be sung to He Who Is by Asaph and his brothers. And then you have here in the historical text a song of thanks given by David, and it also appears in Psalm 105. Oh, give thanks to He Who Is. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. And this becomes one of the favorite psalms, I think, of the Israeli people. And it's really kind of a call to worship. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Tell of His wondrous works. Glory in His holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek He Who Is rejoice. So this is a very happy psalm. Seek He Who Is and His strength. Seek His presence continually. So God's presence is here at Jerusalem now. And so this psalm is going to encourage people to come up to the palace on a regular basis to pay their respects to the throne of God. That's going to become part of the Israeli lifestyle at this new capital city. Remember the wondrous works that He has done, His miracles and the judgments He uttered. O offspring of Israel, His servant, children of Jacob, His chosen ones. And we're going to move through these psalms pretty fast because of the fact that, as I've told you before, we need to feel them. We don't want to pick them apart. We need to understand some things here and there, but mostly we just need to let the feeling of them flow over us because that's how they're intended. He is he who is our God. His judgments are all in all the earth. Remember his covenant forever, the word that he commanded for 1,000 generations, the covenant that he made with Abraham, his sworn promise to Yitzhak, which he confirmed to Jacob as a statute, to Israel as an everlasting covenant, saying, to you I will give the land of Canaan as your portion for an inheritance. So this psalm includes the reminder that God promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that the land of Canaan would belong to them. The land of promise would be their inheritance. I think it is important that David remembers that as he comes to his authority, his kingship here at the new city of Jerusalem. Because one of the next things that he will do is start taking Israel to the full parameters of the promised land, including way up north. Verse 19, the psalm continues, when you were few in number, so way back when, you know, only 70-some people went down to Egypt, you were of little account and sojourners in it. So before Jacob and his family went down to Egypt, they were living in the promised land, but they really didn't own any of it. They were leasing some of it, but they were sojourners, wandering from nation to nation, from one kingdom to another people. He allowed no one to oppress them. He rebuked kings on their account, saying, touch not my anointed ones, do my prophets no harm. So, little reminder in the song that God always intervened to protect this special line from being wiped out. Verse 23, sing to he who is all the earth. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the goyim, among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is he who is, and greatly to be praised, and he is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols. But he who is made the heavens, splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and joy are in his place. So idolatry is talked down about here. Remember, it wasn't very long ago that they collected up a bunch of the Philistine idols and burned them up. Those Philistine idols didn't do the Philistines any good at all, because the real God is the God of Israel, he who is. And so that's why he needs to be praised. Verse 28, ascribe to he who is, O families of the peoples, meaning basically, come on, you need to talk about this. You need to sing about this. Ascribe to he who is glory and strength. Ascribe to he who is the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship he who is in the splendor of holiness, which might actually be a bit of a hint at, you know, come and worship with your special festival clothing, because he's such a great God. Tremble before him, all the earth. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. The reminder that when God put things into place, he intended them to persist. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let them say among the goyim, among the nations, he who is reigns. Keep in mind, the reason for this song on this day is that the throne of God, the Ark of the Covenant, has arrived in the new capital city. So this is a celebration of the king being enthroned exactly where he belongs. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the field exult and everything in it. Then shall the trees of the forest sing for joy before he who is, for he comes to judge the earth. Nature is always invoked to offer its praise to the Creator. And so on this occasion, during the parade, as they went by forests, as they went by fields, as they went by vineyards and orchards and whatever else, when they went by rivers, streams, all of that was praising the king on his throne. That's the way it's portrayed here. Then we kind of finish with where we started. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. His chesed, his the way that he feels in a positive sense toward his people. That's going to just keep on lasting. Say also, Hoshiagna. That's the Hebrew at this point. It's where we get our word Hosanna. It's just like what was sung on the day that Jesus came to Jerusalem riding on a donkey. And it literally means, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather and deliver us from among the Goyim, the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. Blessed be he who is the God of Israel from everlasting to everlasting. This may have been a little mini psalm that was sung whenever the Ark of the Covenant went by people to really ask God, please save us, please take care of us, because you are the blessed God. And so all the people say in response to this, Amen, and praised he who is. Amen is related to the Hebrew word for truth, and it is said either at the beginning of a statement of absolute concrete reality, or it is used in response to hearing something that is definitely true. And so in this case, it's used in the responsive way. Everybody that hears these songs in this day, they are praising he who is. Now, speaking of psalms, before we go any farther in the historical text, I want to draw in a couple of psalms that were, I believe, sung on this day. I believe they were composed for this parade. Psalm 24 is the first of them. Now, there's no superscription other than it says it is a psalm of David. So there's not a clear-cut historical tie-in, but contextually, I think it makes the best sense that this psalm is for this day. Psalm 24, let's feel it. The earth is he who is, and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the rivers. So there is this beginning acknowledgement that God is creator, and therefore creation belongs to him. Then here is, I believe, a reference to Jerusalem, specifically the city of David, where the Ark of God is being brought in to be put in place as the king of this city. Who shall ascend to the hill of he who is? Who shall stand in his holy place? So who can come to where the ark of God's presence is located? And the answer is this: he who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false, who does not swear deceitfully. So it has to be someone who has their heart right with God and their relationships right with other people. He will receive blessing from he who is, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. And we just saw those words, the God of salvation, in the psalm that was sung on the day that the Ark of the Covenant came to Jerusalem. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek the face of the God of Jacob. And that was also a component of this last psalm that we were looking at in 1 Chronicles chapter number 16. Then we have that musical notation, Selah. I've told you, I believe it just means play a bunch of strong music here and let people think about what we've just sung. And then comes something really interesting. And we actually sing a song at church quite often. I love it. That is taken from this passage. It says, "Lift up your heads, O gates. Be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." Now, remember that Jerusalem is an ancient city. It had been burnt by the Israelis under Joshua, but then shortly after that, the ruins were rebuilt, meaning all the things that had been burned up were put back in place again, and occupied by the Jebusites for four centuries plus. So the city of Jerusalem, the city of Jebus, that David took intact, is a very old city. And so the gates, the doors of those gates, are very old. And so this song is basically, heads up, you ancient gates, you ancient doors, get ready for the King of glory to arrive on his throne. Verse 8, who is this King of glory? He who is strong and mighty, he who is mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? He who is over the armies. He is the King of glory. Selah. Says, play some music and think about that. Here comes the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of God's throne being carried by his priests. And he's being preceded and followed by other priests and the people of Israel singing and shouting and dancing. And David, the earthly king of Israel, is with them. And they come through these ancient doors and bring his throne right into the city of David. What a marvelous psalm. The other psalm that I think comes in at this time is Psalm number 30. Again, feel them as we read from them. This one actually does have a superscription. It says, a psalm of David, a song at the dedication of the temple. Now, some people get confused by that because they think, well, the temple's not built yet. In fact, David isn't alive when the temple's built, so he couldn't have been at the dedication. Some people say, well, maybe he wrote this song for the dedication long after his death. I don't think so. The word for temple here is actually the word house, meaning a dwelling place. I think it's a reference to the event we're talking about right now. The place, the tent that David has erected, where God's throne is going to be placed, will be his house. And so this, I believe, is sung on this particular day. Let's read it. I will extol you, O he who is, for you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O he who is my God, I cried to you for help. You've healed me. O he who is, you've brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. So a lot of talk about how God saved David through some rough times. Sing praises to he who is, O you his saints. Give thanks to his holy name, for his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Now remember, This is 3 months after the breakout against Uzzah, the death of Uzzah, when they tried to bring the ark the wrong way. That was God's anger. But now comes his favor. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. So they all cried 3 months ago when Uzzah was killed. But here they are on this day. They are happy and celebratory. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. But your favor, O he who is, by your favor, you made my mountain stand strong. You hid your face, and I was dismayed. To you, O he who is, I cry. To the Lord, I plead for mercy. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell you of your faithfulness? Hear, O he who is, and be merciful to me. O he who is, be my helper. So there's a little bit of repentance in this psalm as well. He wants to let God know, I am a broken man without you. I am sorry for how we did things the wrong way. Now, be merciful to me. Be merciful to us. Be our God. And then we finish with these words. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. And what's David doing on this day of God's throne being brought into Jerusalem? He's dancing. You've loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with garments, with gladness. So he's wearing celebratory religious clothing on this day. That my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O he who is my God, I will give thanks to you forever. And so I think this psalm fits perfectly with the story of David leading in this parade of celebration, bringing the Ark of God right up to the palace that is in the city of David, the city of Jerusalem, the city of the great king.